Welcome back to the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show. Moments away, Ashley Thomas, new author, will be with us. But first, a word from our good friends at Rise Garden.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb required knowledge, gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest, a complete garden on a shelf, and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customizable with your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information and get your Rise Garden, visit risegardens.com.
Hello, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Ashley Thomas is a columnist, author, and food security and home gardening advocate known on social media as the Mocha Gardener. Her book, How to Become a Gardener, Find Empowerment in Creating Your Own Food Security, came out just a few months ago. Welcome to the program, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to chat with you guys tonight.
Well, we are excited to have you on, as we know that we're going to learn from you, and you will teach not only us, but all of our listeners.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure I'm going to learn from you guys, too. Thank you.
So what is food security and food empowerment?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, because we often hear those terms thrown around, right? So I will say that one is a bit more structured in its definition than the other one, and that's food security. By the official definition, and this was actually created by the United Nations, the Committee on World Food Security. It simply, you know, it exists when all people at all times have physical and economic access to sufficient, safe, and nutritious foods that meet their dietary needs and preferences for an active, healthy life. And I know that that sounds like so much, but it's very important that all of these needs be met in a person's diet. And then if there's food empowerment, which, of course, does not have a set or really a universal definition, but if I had to describe this concept, it's really just kind of recognizing the power and the autonomy that individuals, you and me, that we should have around our food choices. But there's also this component where we as a community or society can really foster greater respect and consideration for people's food preferences. And we can do so with compassion while also educating and encouraging and improving access to the foods they need to not just survive, but to thrive.
Well, what led you on to this food security journey? Where, was there an aha moment or something that as you grew up, you saw that this is where you needed to be?
You know, I think that there's a little bit of both. There was me growing up seeing and understanding what food security or food insecurity was. I didn't know that there was a term for it at the time. I just knew that, hey, we've got an issue with the quality of foods that we're experiencing. And I really started to recognize this, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, all the way to like my 30s. And then I had what you call an aha moment in my mid 20s where I said, you know, I think that diet and what we eat is really determining, you know, the quality of life that we're living. And that was when I really kind of set out on this quest to eat better. But I kind of combined that with my love for nature, the environment, and of course, a little story that I have in my book on gardening and how I got into gardening to really incorporate all of those things to really gain access to the foods that we need.
And as we all get older, we realize, whether we want to admit it or not, the potato chips that we ate at 18 or 20, that it's not so bad. They have more of a dangerous effect on us when we're 38, 42, 50.
Yeah, especially if we're eating it every day.
Right.
So I will say, you know, me studying nutrition, I'm not one to say, hey, don't eat the potato chips at all, because sometimes we get a craving for it. But if we find ourselves eating it only and in abundance too much, or where we're overindulging, that's where we start to see some challenges.
Absolutely. And I think,
as Holly points at me,
I think that I know I personally strive to eat a variety of foods, and sometimes I have to encourage Joey to do the same. So your book, How to Become a Gardener, Finding Empowerment in Creating Your Own Food Security, looks like a great book. Mm-hmm. Tell us something unique or interesting about it to encourage our listeners to pick up a copy.
Yeah. So I know I like what you just did, Holly. You talked about encouraging Joey. And really, that's ultimately what we're all trying to do, being mindful of everyone's choices. And we're all on this walk of wellness together. Everyone is trying. I'm trying too. So in my book, I speak about not just learning how to garden, but really how to become the person that cultivates these spaces, whether it be, you know, the green spaces or the spaces within your community or in your homes that ultimately fosters greater wellness. So How to Become a Gardener is a gentle guide where, if you could imagine, walking with me through my garden and gardens of many other gardeners, and how we got on this journey, what food means to us, what gardening means to us, what does it mean to be a gardener, and helping others to understand that none of us are born with a green thumb. We cultivate it, we grow it, and we develop it over time. So I think it's a good read, especially with bringing some of these, you know, tough concepts like food security, food empowerment. I think that it's something that will resonate with everyone, because I don't know about y'all, but I love food and we all need food to survive. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't agree more. I am curious. I know I saw on your Instagram that you showed your grandparents that they were in your book. Were they involved with your gardening journey? Is that how you got into gardening, or did they inspire that book somehow?
Oh yeah. So my grandfather was a farmer in South Carolina, and you know, as they aged, you know, they stopped farming, but he always maintained a small garden and just liked to grow, you know, little produce items, but it wasn't enough food to really provide the nourishment that we needed in our household, especially where we were located, which was a rural community. And so, you know, I kind of watched my grandfather, you know, do this garden, and he's growing foods. And I was like, wait, this is the aha moment, Joey,
right?
When I said, wait a minute, you mean to tell me we can grow an abundance, all types of foods just like this? And so that's when it dawned on me that if we don't have access to the foods that we need, why not be empowered to create access using whatever space we have? And it's not the solution to everything, but I found that it brought back power to the individual. And my grandparents, you know, kind of, you know, we are all now, my family and I, we moved up to North Carolina. We moved them up to North Carolina as well. And they've been a very active part of, you know, learning some of the organic practices of gardening that I've been, you know, kind of showing them. And of course, I glean wisdom from my grandfather, because, I mean, that's my grandpa.
Right.
He's got so many years of experience to share. But it's also been a wellness journey for them in understanding foods from a totally different light. So, you know, they were just here this evening helping me prepare for the spring garden. So, yes, they've been a very active component in our garden journey and an inspiration for me.
And I'm sure your grandparents are much like many of the grandparents that are listening, or of the grandparents of people who are listening. They can grow and bake things that we just cannot do.
They just know stuff.
Yes.
So, my grandfather just knows things that he did not have formal education in horticulture. He learned this,
right,
you know, just through experience. And that is invaluable. I think it's really just me being, recognizing my role as a granddaughter. There's always something that I can learn. And he drops gems and little life wisdoms for me and my husband every day, or every time we're in the garden. So I cherish those moments with him.
Yeah, you got to absorb it, because you just don't know when that time is no longer going to be with you. And you got to cherish it.
Exactly.
Well, what do you feel, in your opinion, is a common hurdle that stops, or hurdles that stop many people from gardening, and how can they get over that hurdle to get them to garden?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there might be two things. either for the new and experience, new and inexperienced, I fall in between, like veteran and new, because I still have so many years to learn. I will never know everything. But I think that there is this element of not being as productive or as successful as you thought you would be. And then for the veterans, just experiencing challenges that just knocked you off your growing game and just not meeting expectations. So I think to both of those, you know, those groups, I say, you know, start small, start within your means, and just recognize that nature is uncontrollable. So we're all going to get disappointed at some point, but it's in the disappointments that it builds character. And it offers us an opportunity to learn more about what's around us, our environment, the organisms within the environment. So never give up. And even if you have to stop or take a pause, that's okay. Be gentle with yourself. And, you know, look at what's in your own means, not necessarily the means of everyone else around you.
Well, successes are easy. We all joy in successes. It's that disappointments is those life learning moments that we can't achieve any other way.
Yeah.
So exactly. You have been getting sap from maple trees. If somebody does want to try that process, is there anything you would recommend to get them started and something that they might want to consider before they run down to the maple sap supply store?
I'm so glad you said that about the maple sap supply store. I will say nature provides us with so many opportunities to learn and explore. So long as we have a mindset to research and be helpful and beneficial, not harmful to nature. So for me, I have to say, I am not a maple sap tapping expert at all. I actually don't, I don't live in a climate where we can do it quite frequently. But if you live in a climate that experiences, you know, seasons of freezing temperatures, you might be in luck. I definitely recommend maybe exploring your extension sites or agricultural sites, local agricultural sites, to really get some advice on the types of trees in your areas in which you can tap. So there is a window of time where you can tap the trees, and it's typically between mid-February and mid-March. I happen to tap my trees in mid-February. So if you are in, you know, like a colder climate right now, you might still have a quick opportunity to try this. But some of the trees that you really want to maybe explore is, you know, pretty much all of the species of the maple trees. They're nice and sugary. And, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing this when there's a consistent phase where the temperatures drop below freezing at night and above freezing, say around 45 to 50 degrees during the day. And that's really to concentrate the sugars within the trees. There's a science to it. I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but just know that it's really cool how trees produce the sap. And then lastly, you know, I will say that, you know, you want to make sure that you're pasteurizing it or boiling the sap before you consume it, because like anything outdoors, there could be pathogens that, you know, harmful pathogens are that could be transferred through the trees to your containers. And then you can store it, make sure you refrigerate it. So it's a fun activity. I love to do this with my little nieces and nephews, and everyone really enjoys it. And it's a lot of nutrition from nature, just another source of nutritious food.
Absolutely. Well, Ashley, greatly appreciate the time you've offered Holly, myself, and our listeners. How can people find your book and find out more information about you?
Yes. So How to Become a Gardener, Find Empowerment in Creating Your Own Food Security can be purchased on all major retailers all around the world. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstore.org, I think, to really just, you know, you can look in those locations. And also, I welcome you to follow me on all social media platforms, primarily Instagram and Facebook at The Mocha Gardener. I love to chat with people, so feel free to, you know, send me a message or email me at b.mocha.gardner@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. We thank you for your time.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.